Job growth slows in March.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. The Labor Department reported this morning that just 88,000 jobs were added in the U.S. last month. That was the worst job growth in 9 months and was well below expectations. The unemployment rate did tick down from 7.7 to 7.6%, but that was in large part because many people stopped looking for work. Seth Harris is the acting U.S. Secretary of Labor, and he is with us now from Washington. Good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy.
Well, so the economists we've been speaking to are not too happy about this report. What do you make of it?
Well, there's no question it's a mixed report. The economy added 88,000 jobs overall, 95,000 in the private sector. That makes 37 consecutive months of private sector job growth, adding almost 6.5 million jobs to the economy. And the unemployment rate did tick down, but it does show us that there's a great deal more to do in creating middle-class jobs and helping our economy to grow at a faster rate. We need to accelerate this rate of job growth to get people back to work.
But it was a significant drop-off from February. So do you know what that's about? Is that sequester? Is that the payroll tax increase?
Well, it's a mix of factors. Certainly the sequestration, these arbitrary across-the-board cuts to all federal programs, didn't help. You know, when you're trying to get your car to go faster, it doesn't make sense to step on the brake. But we also think it's an indication of the economy as a whole needing the government to be a catalyst rather than a barrier in moving the economy forward. So the president's going to lay out a budget next week that's going to suggest a strategy for how we can do that by investing in infrastructure, dealing with our long-term deficit problems, investing in worker training and opportunities for veterans to get into middle-class jobs. All of that is going to help the economy to grow, along with things like comprehensive immigration reform and increasing the minimum wage. Those strategies will help our economy to move forward.
Finally, one more number in here. The labor force participation rate, the lowest since May of 1979, 63.3%. What's that about?
Well, that's a mix of two factors. One is, as our labor force ages, older workers tend to participate in the workplace less than do younger workers. But also a part of it is because the labor market is facing a lot of challenges right now, and there are not enough jobs for the number of workers that we have. And so some number of workers are giving up. The solution to that problem is to create a larger number of good middle-class jobs at a faster rate. That's what the president's going to be proposing in his budget next week.
Seth Harris is acting Secretary of Labor. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jeremy.
Well, this morning's report said there are 4.6 million people who have been out of work for 6 months or more. They're considered long-term unemployed. Marketplace's Sabri Benashour visited an employment center in the Bronx, New York, and spoke with some of them.
Carlos Ramirez is 24. His unemployment checks are about to run out.
I've been unemployed since August. I was a parking attendant.
He's been looking for work as a mechanic.
It's really hard to get a job right now. I haven't got to college yet because I take care of my mother.
Unemployment checks are what stand between a lot of people and financial ruin. Crystal Arroyo is 25. She used to work at a laundromat. Her unemployment ran out 2 weeks ago.
Now my bills that I do have, they're getting backed up. I've been borrowing my sister, my mother.
One in five long-term unemployed people have at least a college degree. Akilah Matthews lost her job as an insurance analyst 7 months ago. All of her unemployment checks go to paying her student loans. But she's still optimistic.
As long as you keep believing, even in the down times, that, you know, something, some kind of opportunity will present itself.
She says competition for every job is fierce. Figures show it's taking longer and longer for the unemployed to find work. In New York, I'm Sabri Benashour for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Not a happy day on Wall Street this morning. The Dow down 126 points, 0.9% at 14,479. The Nasdaq down 1.2% and the S&P 500 down 1%. It's even worse across Europe this morning, down almost 2% right now in London. Japan's Nikkei index, though, hit a four-year high today after that country's central bank announced new stimulus measures to get lending and spending going again in Japan.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by MassMutual, a company that offers financial services designed to serve families with special needs at massmutual.com/specialcare.
Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
President Obama's budget proposal will be formally unveiled next week, and it will reportedly seek a grand bargain of taxes on the rich and spending cuts. But the big news this morning is that it is going to include a proposal to reduce Social Security payments by changing the way inflation is calculated. Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein reports.
Get ready to hear lots about chained CPI. That's wonk talk for altering how inflation is measured when the federal government cuts checks for Social Security or veterans benefits, for example. University of Pennsylvania economist Olivia Mitchell says, imagine you're grocery shopping.
If the price of a breakfast cereal went up, people might substitute the generic brand instead. And so the chain CPI takes into account the fact that people do those substitutions.
Bottom line, moving to chain CPI would slow annual cost of living increases by a fraction. Over a decade, that cuts federal spending by $130 billion and generates roughly the same in tax increases. Paul Vandewater is an economist with the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities. He says most taxpayers would lose less than 1% of their after-tax income in year 10 of chain CPI, and the average person on Social Security would lose about $350.
For a lot of people, it's not going to make a noticeable difference.
If that's really the case, then chain CPI may become a reality. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
And finally, to the sad news that legendary film critic Roger Ebert has died. Since the news came out yesterday, a lot of people from all over the world have offered their thoughts about his many contributions, about his sensibility, his writing, and his character. Well, I've got one thing to add. Roger Ebert and I were born in the same town, Urbana, Illinois, about 2 hours south of Chicago, and he never forgot where he came from. He visited many times when I was growing up. He even started a film festival there called Ebert Fest 15 years ago. The organizers say it will go on as scheduled later this month. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
President Obama is expected to name Caroline Kennedy as the next ambassador to Japan, home to the world's third largest economy. But not everybody thinks former President Kennedy's daughter is the best choice.
This is a serious assignment. It's one of the largest embassies we have in the world.
I'm Sarah Gardner. The politics of hiring an ambassador. Next time on Marketplace from APM.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.